You're listening to Sunday Lunch with Tony Smith on Phoenix 98 FM.
I'm being practicing.
Hi, Els. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. I got the name right, because the way it's said, I keep saying Ellis. It's kind of L, Ellie, Els, L. Is that your full name?
My real name's Eleanor, but I've never been called that.
So. As in Eleanor Rigby.
Eleanor Rigby, yeah.
Because you've got surnames Williams as well, is it? Because I see some of the things come up with different names on it.
Yeah, so my surname's Williams, but my stage name is Bailey.
As in the drink, Bailey's Cream.
It's my mum's maiden name, actually. I just thought it's got a nicer ring to it than Williams.
Yeah, yeah. And you're a singer-songwriter from Bristol.
Yeah, we've had a nice little road trip today. It's been good fun.
It doesn't take, I was in Bristol a couple of weeks ago.
What were you doing?
I've got some family out there, and out there sounds like it's the other side of the world, doesn't it? Bristol, well, it could be. But no, I go there every now and again. I mean, if you get a clear road, M25, M4.
It's so easy today, literally, like M4, M25, couple of roundabouts, and we were here.
It was great city, because obviously you got a lot of students there, for starters. And I took my son there, because they got... we went on trick-or-treating, and it's really big there. I mean, they got some of the... I can't remember the name of the roads, but there was a lot of the students were putting on little shows. They all dressed up, and they was in playing the scenes, and it's quite, you know, the all scary ones, and you go in and get brilliant. There was queues outside to go into people's houses.
Really?
Fantastic. And they got some great bars here as well, and of course you can look over, you've got the bridge, and they've got the artificial river thing now going all the way around, haven't they?
Yeah, and then you've got the floating harbour and stuff.
Yeah, you've got the first steel ship there, I think, logged there somewhere.
The SS Great Britain?
Well, I think that's it.
One, yeah. I had to think about that.
I know this stuff on Bristol. Bristol, there you go, so you're surprised. So what do you make of Brentwood? Is this the first time I've been to Brentwood?
First time I've been to Essex.
Have you seen it on TV?
Maybe one episode.
Sharp. Oh my God. Now we've got our own language.
I know, it's actually one of my really good friends is just married someone from Essex, so she's become a very good friend of mine. So she's actually my second Essex friend. So you are my other Essex friend.
And you're down here to, like a lot of my guests, you're passing through, gigging.
Yeah.
And popping in. Have you had your gig, or is your gig later on today?
It's tonight. Yeah, it's in Holborn, in London tonight. So okay, that should be great fun.
To the music quickly. What would you class your musical? You know what I'm going to say, don't you? Genre.
My musical genre, it's a bit eclectic. It's kind of like a bluesy indie style with elements of pop thrown in for good measure.
And you play guitar and keyboards, don't you?
I play guitar very badly. Yeah.
Is that why I didn't bring the guitar?
Yeah, well, actually, I was going to bring... Someone was going to come with me today. That's why I said, I might bring the guitar, because it's easier than doing the keyboard. But in the end, I just decided to come up doing it myself. So you wouldn't want to hear me play the guitar. I write music on the guitar. So one of the songs you're going to play was one that I wrote on the guitar, because you get a different sound. It's a bit different. Yeah. But no,
it's
one
got
really...
strings and not keys.
Yeah, exactly. But no one gets to hear me live on the guitar. A bit more practice.
What made you jump into the music industry? Because it's tough out there now, isn't it?
Probably
the toughest it's ever been, I would say.
Yes, I started when I was about 16, and I was in an indie band for about 8 years. So then when that finished, I was like, oh, I'm never doing that again. And suddenly I'm here, and it's sort of just evolved, and I'm started doing a solo project and working with a really cool producer. And I never thought, I kind of thought music was like done for me. But suddenly it just started happening again, which was really, really cool, and I'm really enjoying it. But it's so different from 5 years ago when I was in a band. Like, the music industry has changed so much. We didn't really have YouTube then. Like, that's mental. We didn't have, we barely had Facebook.
I know, it's amazing, isn't it?
It's so
crazy. We just jot things down. I remember at school, we used to write things on bits of paper and then throw them at people in the classroom. They go, now you just talk to people electronically from desk to desk, couldn't you?
I know, you take a picture of them, send it to them via Instagram. It's amazing.
It's all in there in cyber world space or something. What influences your music?
I have loads of influences. My dad brought me up on proper 60s rock and roll and loads of blues as well, which is really, really cool. I was born in the 90s, so I guess the Spice Girls played a huge part in my...
I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want.
Exactly. Well, they knew what they wanted, didn't they?
They done well.
I saw that... I was reading a magazine today, and Matt Cardell is apparently going out with Mel... C?
Yeah, I read that.
That's so random.
Melanie C, yes. She's the one...
The sporty one.
She's sporty one, yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was really bizarre.
I always thought she was the best singer as well.
Yeah, I loved her... A song she did with Bryan Adams. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
You didn't like that one?
No, well, I like Bryan Adams, but, you know, when he was in the chart for 6 years or something like that, it kind of put me off him, because he was in the charts forever, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But, it was a good collaboration, that song.
Yeah.
It was a lot of songs get overplayed, don't they? And then you start off by liking them. It's like Daft Punk. I get a lot of people say, "Just play Daft Punk," but then it starts to become really annoying. You think, not again. So you've got a unique sound. I would say you've got a unique sound. Tell us a bit about the voice, because you had problems with the voice. So I'll let you tell me about it a little bit, because you've had problems with your voice, and it's to where it's got to now.
Yeah, so when I was really little, there was an epidemic of pneumonia that went around the UK, and there was a viral strain and a bacterial strain, and bacterial strain is treated with antibiotics, that kind of thing. I managed to contract both strains, and to keep me alive, I had to have a tube put down my throat.
That sounds horrific.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I was young. I didn't remember any of it.
No.
It was I had my third birthday on a life support machine.
Oh, you're very young. Yeah.
But before then, I had a totally normal voice. And then when I came off the machine and I started, I had to learn everything again. But when I started talking, my parents were just like, "Wow, that wasn't the voice that she went in with." There you go. It's getting husky.
It is husky though, isn't it?
Yeah, so this is what I sound like since then. And they took me to a specialist, and the specialist just said, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. He checked it all out, but if she's going to be a singer, then she'll be a really good blues singer.
Yeah.
So that's, my dad brought me up listening to blues. And
so that's like destiny.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, you fronted a couple of well-known bands, indie bands, supporting... this is what I got off the internet, supporting Sugar Babes, Scouting for Girls and other similar acts. Tell me a bit about that.
Yeah, that was really, really cool. We supported the Sugar Babes... Where was it? It was either in Oxford or Cambridge. It was really funny because they had a whole room. They were given a whole room just for their shoes for the gig. I was just like... How many pairs of shoes do you need for a gig? And they had 50 pairs.
If I had a whole room for just my shoes, I'd just put one set in it.
Yeah.
Sport like that, just a chair, just put me trainers on it.
And then Scouting for Girls, that was great fun. That was just on their first... just as She's So Lovely came out, and it was just going crazy, and the you know, the tour was great, and they're the nicest boys ever. They were the loveliest people I think I've ever met in the... As sort of bands, they were great, yeah.
Cool.
So, it was good
cool.
fun.
Now, we've been setting up the studio for you today, and you've brought in what looks like to be the biggest keyboard in the world.
It's the heaviest keyboard in the world.
It is really a lump. And you're going to be playing that. We'll get a track on that, actually, shall we? If you wander over, what are you going to play for us today first?
I'm going to do Dying Age first, I think, the one that you played... in the last hour.
Oh yeah, we played in the first hour, and that was the full version. Now you can do the keyboard and vocals version of that.
Yes.
Yeah, so you wander over, and I shall just keep chatting away. And we've got Nick. Is he filming? He's filming everything over there, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
How's it going, Nick?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Is it all coming out good?
Yeah.
He's got it on the iPhone. See, well, that'll be straight on Twitter.
It's amazing.
All right, you're all plugged in, and give it a whirl. See what we got.
Tell me when you're ready.
Yeah, fire away.
Amazing, this is Dying Age. Time and place, and
Sunday Lunch with Tony Smith on Phoenix 98 FM.
Fantastic. And it was live in the studio. It's always better when it's live as well. You've got to run back all the way back to the microphone.
Cheers, thanks.
Enjoy that?
Yeah, it was great. I was having a... my shoes were squeaking on my pedal. I was so conscious of that. I was like, no. So I'm taking off the shoe now.
And it's, we've set it up a different way. So you're actually got the your speaker system here, and it's coming through, and we're going through the desk. So you can actually hear what you're playing, which is... So you couldn't hear the pedal squeaking.
Oh, that's good.
I don't think so, anyway. We'll listen back later on. And, of course, we're putting this all up on the website as well, so you'll be able to see... you'll be able to listen back to the whole interview, and I'll separate the tracks as well. So and that'll be coming up... I'll do that on Monday. So for Monday, you'll be able to read all about it. Read all about it. Extra. Read all about it. on the website, www.fixfm.com. Just look under the Sunday Lunch Show. Now, you've worked also worked some top producers to record 3 albums. Haven't got this all right, because it's all off your webpage. Currently working on your 4th, producer co-written by Brian Banks.
Yeah.
Who worked with Michael Jackson. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so, like I said, when I finished with the band, I didn't think music was really, you know, going to happen again. And Brian was an old friend of mine, and just one day I was sitting on Facebook, as you do, and I messaged him. I thought, I haven't spoken to you in ages, so I sent him a message. He was like, what are you doing? I was like, oh, final year of uni, as you do. He was like, come over, because he lives near me. So I went over, and He was like, well, let's do something. Let's start working together.
Like you do. It's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's how it happened.
Come on over to my place.
Yeah. And we're having a blast. It's an amazing time. And we've written some, you know, I'm really pleased with what we're doing. And, it's, you know, really, really good fun. So.
Have you got a completion date for the album? Is that work in progress still? Or is it
work in progress, yeah.
And how many tracks are going on that? Is it going to be...
It'll be full... You know, full sort of, I guess, however many make the cut, really.
Yeah. If you could add someone to your album, if you could put in some past or present, if you could collaborate, I suppose, would be the question. I know everyone asks that question, if you could collaborate with one. But if you could have someone to actually go on your album with you, either sing, duet, or whatever, who would you root for?
Oh, I don't know. Do you know what?
Because you're quite bluesy, so I would imagine it would be probably Winehouse-y, wouldn't it?
I have two. Mm-hmm. My lady would be Etta James.
Oh yes,
definitely. Choice. She is my hero. I absolutely just love Etta James so much. And probably this might be a bit random. Joe Cocker.
Yeah, I love Joe Cocker.
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
Oh. Do you know what? I haven't heard from Joe Cocker for ages. I've got to have to dig a track out now and play it later on.
Do oh.
Joe Cocker.
Love Lift, is that where we belong?
And when I spend quite a lot of time in Tenerife doing gigs over there, and there's one bar I go in, and the chap's always there, and every time I go in there, it's always a chap doing Joe Cocker, and you don't realise he's got some great songs.
Yeah, really he's, great songs. He's fabulous.
Always gets the place rocking. And now you're down, as I said earlier on, you're down gigging at the moment. Where can people find you at the moment? Because obviously you're in Bristol, you're coming into Essex and London.
Yeah.
You got something coming up, obviously, later on. How often do you get to come to this neck of the woods?
It's just when I want, really, which is cool. So I've actually very recently put together an Els Bailey band, so it would be sort of full band sound like my album.
We're getting the band back together.
Yeah, we're putting the band back together. And so our first live show is in Bristol, and then we're going to, you know, start sort of getting outside of Bristol and we'll stick to the south. But we'll come this far, come to definitely to London.
Do you prefer gigging in London? Is it something you're keen to do, or is you just go with the flow?
Just go with the flow. I mean, I haven't done a gig in London for ages. This is my first one in ages.
Is it?
I can't wait. It's going to be great.
You ventured into any festivals?
Not since I've done solo, not in London. I can't remember. We did quite a few of like the Camden
stuff.
Like, yeah, Camden Crawl, that type of thing.
Lots of music in Camden.
I know, Camden's
musical
amazing.
Area. We're going to play something off your list at the moment. I listened to this track not long after you sent it to me on email, thanks for that. And this seemed to be the one that stood out for me.
Okay.
And out of the three songs, it was That Girl.
Oh, okay, that girl.
And I don't know why, it's just quite catchy, isn't it?
It is catchy.
Tell us a bit about that before we back it on.
Well, it's kind of a relatively satirical take on someone cheating on me and with that girl.
If I had a pound for every time someone sat here and said, tell us a little about that song, they went, wow, it's when my boyfriend or girlfriend cheated on me, or... I'd be a rich man.
Yeah.
Also does tell you what's happening to the great British public and everyone seems to be non-faithful, I suppose.
Because people watch stuff like Made in Chelsea, don't they?
Oh, but I haven't seen it. Is that what they do on Made in Chelsea?
See? All they do.
Oh, no. It's only for the cameras. Right, let's get it on. This is That Girl.
Don't you think we should break up?
It's like a drumming bit at the end. You know when you watch those gigs and they're all in like that and the bloke just wants to do that little last little bit, like a little battle. Ding-a-ding, and the bloke boom, 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 boom.
It's great, isn't it?
If you're live with the band. Of course, if you're not, you can't see us, but I'm just shaking my arms around at the moment.
So am I.
Al's looking at me going, what a strange man. Yeah, that was a great song.
Thank you.
It's really catchy, isn't it?
Yeah, I do. I like it.
is that quite a recent song?
Yeah, it's... we sort of started working on it maybe about five or six months ago, and I think I put it sort of up online about two or three months ago. So, it's great fun.
What's the most embarrassing thing that's happened to you on stage or off stage?
Oh, I don't really know.
Have you written that song, the actual person come in and watch the gig?
When I used to write lots of songs about an ex of mine, and he used to be at a few gigs that would be slightly awkward. Oh, this is another song I wrote about you.
Well, they all do. I mean, I remember that Taylor Swift was meant to have written a song about, or sung a song when the One Direction were in the audience.
I know. Oh, that was brilliant. That was a VMA Awards.
Yeah,
and
VMA.
I
said it wasn't, but I think it was, because she kind of walked past and glanced at him, didn't she?
And the camera like panned like straight on them. It was brilliant.
He was looking rather sheepish when he was thinking, oh, no, because you can't see, but he knows the cameras are on him.
I know. I don't think it was about him. I think it's written about someone else. I'm a huge Taylor Swift fan.
Oh, yeah?
Hands down, I love her.
She was on X Factor not long ago. But it was nice to see her just to sing a song without having to use lots of gimmicks to get it across. I mean, obviously they had Miley Cyrus. I'll spit it out in a minute. But lots about her in the press.
I know.
But she's only young, so I'll give her credit. But
she's got a great voice. Miley's
she has got a good voice. And sung on live on the X Factor as well. But they do tend to use a lot of gadgets now, and I think that's that seems to get the attention of the press more than the song itself.
Yeah.
But Wrecking Ball's a great tune as well. She probably didn't write it, but it's still a great tune.
Yeah.
Just quickly talking about writing songs. Talk us through your songwriting process. Obviously, you have themes. We know that. But what comes first? Do you pluck something out and think, oh, I'll sing about this or I'll write about this, or is it a personal experience, or do you just get like a tune into your head and you think, well, I'll put lyrics to that? What comes first?
It varies, actually. So it could be if you're just out and about, and this is where, you know, songwriting's changed over the last few years. If you're out and about and you get a song in your head, you could just start singing something. You get an idea, sing it into your phone, and then you can just go back to the piano and work out something from that. So you just work it out from that bit of inspiration, or sometimes just sit at the piano, start playing, and just see what comes. If I'm, you know, in a co-writing session, so writing with someone, you might sort of come to it with a few ideas and sort of say, look, this is the song I want to write about, this is what I want to do, this is the kind of vibe I'm looking for, and then go from there. So it's different. Usually, I'd say my better songs come when the tune comes first, and then I put the lyrics on afterwards.
So you grab your phone and you sing into your phone?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to try that.
Do it. My phone is filled with sound bites for me.
Do you know, Nick? You know when you get your iPhone and you film something, you press the button and you can see what you.
Yeah.
I think Nick's just filming himself.
I think so as well. He's like, look at me, I'm so good looking.
And he's singing, he's doing the lyrics. he's probably just written his own song while we've been chatting.
Or he's doing like a, you know, when they mine the lyrics that they're going to put up on a.
And what is that he's put over there? Is that like a microphone?
Yeah, it's really cool. Just
it looks like what they wear in the Queen's Guard wear those things, little mic cover over.
Yeah, it's a really cool bit of kit. Which,
it is. I'm going to give you a recording of this, so you probably don't need to bother. But it does look nice, like an ornament.
Oh, brilliant! No, it's cool. Well, that's video. It's video.
Oh, you're videoing as well.
Yeah, so that's video. So just of the piano.
Well, while we're talking about video, have you done much video? Have you put stuff out there on YouTube?
I've only just started getting into YouTube. Like I said, when I was sort of in the music industry a few years ago, it wasn't such a big thing. So I've now suddenly been like, oh, actually, YouTube is amazing, so I need to get on that bandwagon. So I'm starting doing loads more stuff, loads of backstage stuff. And I'm filming a video in January, so that will be like a music video.
Okay. Now, I've written down there on my notes here that, let me just read it out to you, word for word. Your music has been, this is off your website, your music has been featured on films, on compilation albums in the USA, radio and Europe and the UK. And also your voice has just been used for a major advertising campaign in the States, across the pond. Tell us a bit about that.
Yes, yeah, so that was a song that I did with Brian, my producer, called Who Am I to Me, that was then used and sampled in lots of different ways on a campaign for iShares, which is a sort of investment company, and I think it's still playing.
That's cool.
As far as I'm aware, it's still playing. It's been really, I've had loads of YouTube hits from that. I think the song was in the first sort of couple of weeks of it coming out, loads of people were going to the YouTube trying to find the advert to find the song. And at this point, you know, we hadn't released it or anything. And so there were loads of messages like, where can we get this song? Where can we get this song? So finally I put it out and made them happy. So.
Cool. Right, should we do another track?
Yeah.
You head over to the massive great big thing that's a keyboard, the half a studio. Now, what, quickly before you go, what song are you singing?
This is another one of mine. This is called Holding For You. It's one of my new ones. It's not recorded, so it's, this is actually the first time it will be played on air.
Ah, cool. Live, exclusive.
Exclusive for Phoenix FM.
Head over, give me the sign, and I'll just carry on chatting, because, yeah, that's keyboard and a half. I'm glad you brought something with you, because you just couldn't take that on the train, could you, or anything?
Yeah, we definitely had to drive.
I see the box outside. It's like a, remember the old coffin decks you used to get as a DJ? They used to have the same things, really big, heavy boxes.
It's so heavy. It's so heavy. I need muscles over here.
This is why you need to learn more about guitar.
I know. Why didn't I learn the guitar? It would have been so much easier.
Right. Take it away.
Thanks. Well, this is Holding For You.
I was holding on for nothing.
find it all so easily. And oh, it's so close now, coming home.
Listening to Sunday Lunch with Tony Smith on Phoenix 98 FM.
Temperatures are starting to drop, a sure sign that winter's on its way. Soon the frost, ice and maybe even the snow will be back. But did you know, when temperatures fall below 7 degrees, normal tyres can harden, reducing grip. Winter tyres, however, retain flexibility and grip right down to around minus 15. Improve your stopping distance and pull away grip by fitting winter tyres now with skid marks. We have winter tyres to suit all budgets, so are you ready for winter? Don't leave it until it's too late. Call the Winter Tyre Specialists, skid marks now on 01277 210 414.
Hear something different? Sunday, December the 1st. Get festive and dress up as Father Christmas for the St. Francis Hospice fundraising Santathon. Run, walk or jog the 5-kilometre route that starts and ends at Dagenham and Redbridge Football Club. There'll be a raffle, prizes and even a competition for the best-dressed Santa. So join in and raise money for specialist nurses and doctors who provide free care for local people. The St. Francis Hospice Santathon. Find out more at sfh.org.uk.
Join me, Mel Watson, every Wednesday evening, 7 till 8 on Phoenix 98 FM. Each week, I'll be chatting to an expert about how you can change your body for the better. From cosmetic surgery to karate, from Reiki to reflexology, whether it's an alternative therapy or doctor's advice you need, you'll find it all in Body Talk, the show that could change your life. Brought to you in association with Spire Hartswood Hospital.
Sunday Lunch. Sunday Lunch with your favourite Essex boy, Tony Smith.
Tony Smith.
On Phoenix 98 FM.
Welcome back.
Howdy.
That was a great song, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Great keyboards. When did you start? Is that something you'd done early when you was a kid learning the
piano? Yeah.
Because I know you're learning, you're still kind of learning the guitar, work in progress. But the keyboards is your advanced level, so.
Yeah, I started playing probably when I was 7 or something, and my mum, my punishment actually was to play the keyboard or play the piano, and I hated piano practice because I had this slight problem. I couldn't actually read music, so I managed to blag my way to 13 with kind of getting my piano teacher to play the song so I could hear it, and that's how I do it. And
is then that solved now? Do you read music? It's hard to read music.
I still can't.
The problem is with I mean, piano is, I mean, but people, guitar is hard. I mean, I play a bit of guitar, but it's something you can get by with a couple of chords, sing a couple of songs, find yourself a couple of easy songs, and off you go. You haven't got that with the keyboard, so you just can't, you know, tinker away. You've got to know probably how to read music, and then you've got all the boring, mundane bits of doing all the lot of classical starts and learning like that. So something it takes years.
It does. Now looking back on it, that was probably the best thing my mum did, was forcing me to do it. And if I could tell anyone who's probably sitting there at 12 years old being like, I don't want to do my scales. Do your scales. Do your arpeggios, because it will pay off when you get older and want to write music.
You know when you're being you see these police programs and they're interviewing the suspects and they say, now entering the studio is Jane Thorpe and also Matt Jolly have it. Yes. For information, Jane Thorpe has just entered the studio. I always wanted to say that. Hello, Jane.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Great stuff.
I feel we should mention Jane's hair. It's amazing.
Thank you.
Beautiful, like beautiful hair.
Can you believe I never got that. Absolutely
great
nothing.
Hair as well.
I've done it eggshell blonde, especially for you. I could do with borrowing it. It's lovely. It's nice and curly, isn't it? Is that natural?
Yes, it is.
Wow, you're really lucky.
Thank you, dear.
You are very lucky.
I don't have your voice, though.
What's the goal for next year? What lies ahead for you for 2014?
Well, we're hoping we've got the band together now, band back together, and hoping to do a load of festivals, lots more gigging all over the place, get more songs ready for the album, that kind of thing. So it's going to be busy year, which should be fun. I just can't believe it's just around the corner. It's actually scary. I'm not ready for Christmas or New Year.
Yeah, coming up quick, isn't it?
I know.
Always does. It always creeps up on you. And if you haven't done it, I do all my shopping really late.
I'm just going to do it online, I think. Well, Nick went to the shops yesterday. He said it was absolutely horrendous. Like, I asked him to go to... Am I... Primark? I asked him to...
It's like Primark, yeah.
Okay, fine. Wasn't sure. You never know, advertising, that kind of thing.
Jane's here to start whipping you.
Yeah, so I asked him to get some long-sleeve T-shirts for me, and I think you queued for, like, 25 minutes.
That's just a jumper, isn't it? Long-sleeve
yeah,
T-shirt.
Yeah, like, it's just a something
to put, go on. Why don't you put arms on it? Does it fail to become, be a T-shirt, surely?
It's thin, cottony, kind of like like an under jumper.
Vest.
Well, it's not really a vest. I'm not old enough to be wearing vests.
Let's go back to the music. Would you go on something like Britain's Got Talent or X Factor if you got asked? Well, he was talking about reality shows earlier on.
Maybe. I'm never going to say never.
Because you've got, out of all the things, you've got that name. Ellis Bailey!
That'd be funny, wouldn't it?
Good voiceover, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that was good, really good.
Rachel Adadeji.
That's the one you always do. Rachel Adadeji.
Wow, look, you'll have to Google it. I wonder what happened to her. She must be still around, probably singing somewhere.
She was pretty good. Yeah. I remember her. I haven't watched any of this year's show, because I'm always gigging.
I'm always
Saturday
gigging.
Night. So,
I caught a bit late last night when I got in, but it was really late, so I only watched a few bits. It was doing like 10 years of X Factor, so it was pretty depressing.
They just released an album as well. Mm. We shouldn't promote it.
No.
Sorry.
What's talk about reality TV? Have you been watching? Do you watch? I'm a Celebrity. Get Me Out of Here.
I don't. I know you do.
I don't. Well, we've got Steph Dace in there, so we have to. And I'll watch it anyway. But it's really good.